Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to a special 10 o'clock nightcap edition of Soma Time. I'm still Dr. Mark, and I believe Professor Val is somewhere up 684 lounging.
Yeah, somewhere.
Hey, still awake?
Does this sound like it's fading in and out to you, or is it my phone?
No, you sound okay.
I sound okay, okay.
I'm not Max Headroom this week?
Huh?
I said I'm not Max Headroom this week? You can hear me?
I hear like a crackling or something in the phone, but I heard it before you were talking, so it's not you.
Uh-huh. Do you want to call back in?
Well, if I do, we'll all be disconnected.
Well, what will that mean? Can we just call back in and still here? You want me to stay on the line, you call back in? What's the difference?
Yeah.
Right,
I think
in.
if I leave, though, you'll be disconnected, but...
No, I won't. I'll be on hold like I was before.
Okay. All right.
No one cares. If you're joining us now, just feed forward about 30 seconds, and you'll be fine.
I care.
Well, fine. Care enough to call back then. Go.
All right, bye.
Mm-hmm. Ya-da-doo-da-dum.
All right, I'm back. Can you hear me? Okay.
You hear me?
All right, I hear you now, and you're up there twice, and
yeah.
It's still screwed up.
You know what?
It was fine until they hooked me in.
Oh. Well, last week it was me, this week it's you. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. All you archiving bastards. And for the live listeners, and we still have some open lines here at 646-478-4847. Special Lie to Me post-game show. Pretty good shoe, I have to admit.
It was good. I missed the whole ending, though, because I was screwing around with this stupid phone.
Oh, come on. Endings are anticlimactic on shows like that. You could write your own ending. You'd probably be pretty close to what happens.
I guess.
Spoiler, if you haven't watched The Lie to Me, I know you can watch the entire show again on the Fox website. They have those things there that you can watch the show on the web. I guess it takes about 45 minutes instead of an hour without the commercials. Spoiler alert. I thought the kid had hung himself in the cell, but apparently he was alive. So he gets out of jail innocent, and... the teacher who, with the handshake, he's the one that really killed her. He got her pregnant. He got the other girlfriend pregnant, and I don't know what else happened.
Mm-hmm.
And what else? I think that was it. There wasn't much else going on. I mean, it was, you know, he was being his sleuthy little self, the lead character. And in case you didn't watch Lie to Me, and we're talking out of our ass, it was on Fox tonight from 9 to 10. The lead character... Dr. Cal Lightman, played by Tim Roth. Anto, as all hell, he could have sprouted a fin in the middle of his face at some point. and Gillian Foster, the eco sidekick, that's the chick from The Practice, right?
Yeah. I liked her on there.
And then Ria Torres, the one they got from the TA, an exo who can Anto like anybody. She was good. And then
yeah.
A little Philo Court Jester, the Eli Loker guy, who's like the radical honesty guy, who works in the Lightman group there, the lapdog, and he's completely a waste of time as far as the character goes. But it was It was one of those shows where...
There's some breaking news here.
What do you mean breaking news? It's about Carolyn Kennedy, isn't it? Yeah, she's not going to run for the Senate, so what?
Is that what it is? They're breaking in for that?
It broke breaking news. It's broken and smashed and served as an ice cube tray. It was on Keith Olbermann 2 hours ago.
Take a look. Look at it.
Who cares?
All right, go ahead. I didn't hear it. I didn't watch him tonight.
Oh, Jimmy Crackhorn. Yeah, so now we'll get the Cuomo kid. Big deal. New York State. Please.
You don't have enough for them?
What? Cuomo's?
Ugh.
Wait, how soon you forget? Come on. What are we talking? So there's your breaking news. So as we go from fantasy land back to reality, crashing back into reality here with the breaking news, for the most part, what the show was about, to me, it's so funny. We've been doing this stuff for a while on the Blog Talk scene here and all over the place, actually, and to no avail. And, we put together the S-list about a year ago or so, maybe less, that has about 100 celebs profiled in there. But again, we're doing it with static pictures, and they're doing it with little facial gestures and things like that that have a physiological reality all their own. And the best part about this show is that he knows it and they don't, and he knows that he's lying too, but he can lie consciously. These people are lying unconsciously. It's a very cool concept, and I think it's going to create a hit show to counter the Mentalist, which everyone thinks is like the best show on the planet right now.
I never saw it.
Me neither. No, and I refuse to watch it. How about that? I'm holding out. If it's popular, I run the other way. But basically, the premise of that show is that this guy's is an intuitive, and he just knows what he knows, and he can't explain it, and it pisses off people to no end. So that was the gist of tonight's show, was to sort of introduce this guy as being a left brain body language sape, as opposed to the right brain on the Mentalist.
Uh-huh.
And he was, like I said, he's very literal. The whole show is and this show and this Lie to Me show is based on the work of Paul Ekman, who is becoming a bit of a celeb these days. And there's a lot of these guys out there. Remember that book Blink a couple of years ago?
What was it?
Blink. Malcolm.
I remember you talking about it.
Malcolm Gladwell stuff. Yeah, Malcolm Gladwell writes. He writes a lot of really heady articles that his crowd will read and most people won't. And the gist of what he's trying to talk about, and a lot of people are talking about, is that the physiology can't be separated from the biology, and that's what they're trying to take the social conditions and the psychology out of it, and they're trying to put the biology and the physiology together again. That's really what's going on. There we go. Put a little Billy on in the background here. There you go. So there's your Carolyn Kennedy theme in the background. For everyone who wants to be Senator of New York, we have a slot open. You can call the governor's office. Sure, he'll answer.
Yeah, that's what we need.
So, the other guy is Gottman, who's a big marriage counselor guy. He has a love lab out there on the West Coast. And he can tell with some type of ridiculous accuracy, like over 90% accuracy, just by having a three-minute conversation with a couple, if they're going to be broken up in 5 years or not. Could have saved a lot of time on the planet Earth doing that. Forget going, what's that Christian thing they make you do before you get married? You got to go to that stupid thing. I forget the name, but I avoided it.
Oh, pre-Cana?
That's it, the pre-Cana.
Oh, please.
Skip the pre-Cana. Hop a flight to Seattle, forget Miami Beach, and go to the Love Lab and get a checkup from the neck up with that guy, with Paul Gottman. Not Paul Gottman, John Gottman, sorry. So you combine all these guys, the Blink guy who talks about this whole idea of thinking very quickly, and it's called thin slicing, where you're not even conscious in making decisions, like the guys that can tell a real painting from a fraud just by looking at it. They're doing it intuitively, in a sense, like the Mentalist, but they're not even conscious of how they're doing it. And that's kind of the way this guy is operating in the show, but only he's doing it sort of like the Terminator in a way. He's doing it in a very exo way, just noticing stuff and observing things and interpret them on the fly, but he's doing it with this Anto sort of persona, so it's like he's doing it with a very firm and very steadfast belief that what he's getting is accurate, because as he kept saying during the show, the body can't lie, the body language can't lie. Hell, it can't, but that's another show. That would be my show about this, because like I was talking about with a lawyer client before, when you know you're being watched, you can deceive the person a lot more than when you don't know you're being watched. The trick with this guy is they don't know they're being watched, and that's why he gets good information. But when someone's questioning, like he says earlier on in the show, one of the body language myths we talked about a couple weeks ago is about eye contact. They say, well, if you don't make eye contact, you're lying. Actually, you're going to get information from the conversation, so the words are taking you into different parts of your brain. Your eyes better be moving around. And he says that the liar actually maintains more eye contact to make sure you're believing the lie. That was a good trick. And then the eco, towards the middle of the show with that thing about the congressman and his and the daughter who was the stripper and all that. That she made the guy tell the story in reverse, and he couldn't do it in reverse because since it never happened, you could take any event that happened and go backwards and forwards in time, but a lie can only go forward in time. So it's, tell me the whole thing in reverse order, they can't do it.
So is that true?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, because the lie is a fabrication that comes from the right brain, and the right brain doesn't do sequence, the left brain does sequence. So you can feed it through the system in one direction, but unless you're organized enough to go and see it and not just say it, if you can't see it, you can't say it, you won't have the order. You won't have the ability to go through backwards, and you'll trip up, and that'll show you that, okay, there's been at least an embellishment, and maybe an outright fib, or maybe a bone-faced lie somewhere in that sequence. And the other thing that's great is that his shut Billy off here. He's turning to drive me nuts. Is that he talks about in regular conversation, not even to the point where you're lying for some kind of benefit. People are going to not tell the truth about 3 times in 10 minutes of regular conversation.
Yeah, what was that about?
It's another stat. They don't really go back and justify, but Scientific American has an article coming out about this entire show and about the whole thing about reading faces and stuff. And it's they do every year, they do a January, February thing about the mind or whatever. So I think it just came out of the newsstands. But Ekman's in there, and they talk about his work, and some of those stats are fleshed out a little bit in there. But basically what they're saying is, and we know this, if a fraction of the conversation is through verbal anyway, is the chance that the verbal is not going to match up with the nonverbal, and the nonverbal holds the memory. So you're giving yourself sort of the words for the pictures, and if they're not going to couple all the time anyway, yeah, about 3 times in 10 minutes wouldn't be a big deal.
Mm.
You know, and it's not just, he's talking about lie in a black or white sense. And it has to do with distortion. You'll emphasize certain things. Like if you told me what you ate for breakfast now, and then I asked you again in 10 minutes, you tell me a slightly different version of the same story. In his mind, that's a lie because you didn't duplicate it. He's trying to make it very exo, where, and by exo I mean it doesn't change. It's going to be the same memory every single time, the same imprint, like putting on a DVD and playing it through. It doesn't work that way. Every single time you tell yourself your past, or you try to predict your future, there's new information because you can't stop the world from spinning, baby. So there's always new data. And that's what they miss a lot with this stuff because they're not somatica yet. They're still in that mind-body split. They're still in that right-left brain split. They're still in that conscious-not-conscious split. So you got all those drawbridges, and one of them's going to be up. And, you know, there's no easy pass. You got to swim across the river.
Mm-hmm.
And the river be shark-infested. So, you know, that's why these things don't go through. I mean, they show Clinton with the shame there on part of the show.
Yeah, that was funny.
It was kind of cool. You know, and it's poor like, you know, those... Yeah, the poor eco. See, that's the thing is that on this hour, I will, you know, kind of take the guard down a little bit because I really want... What do I want? Let's see. All right. We're on here every week on Wednesday nights. Usually we're on at 9. This week we came on at 10. We're debating to come on at 10 again. I don't know, because I really like the show. So we'll be doing our dopey show, and I'll be watching the other show in mute. Unless I can watch it at 10 o'clock on the web.
We could just do our show another night. What's the difference?
No, I like Wednesday.
Why?
I like Wednesday.
It's hump day.
Yeah,
what the hell do you want to spend talking on the phone?
Trust me. Every day's hump day to me, but I ain't the one doing the humping. I'm a catcher and a pitcher in this world.
God.
That's right. Number again, 646-478-4847. Surprise us with a call. Yeah, maybe one of my friends from Facebook will call me over here.
Never know.
That is one goofy, and a tedious place to be.
Actually, I mean, if you use it the way it's meant to be used, where it's just you and all your friends on there, it's a lot of fun.
Okay.
Because you know what everybody's up to every day without having to actually talk to them or spend time on the phone or whatever.
Yeah, it's very silly. I mean, do I need to know every time someone has a tree removed from their front yard? I mean, really? Is that worthy of reporting
sure.
to the world?
Sure.
You know, and then they have all these little gizmos, like to give someone karma. Come on. It's just to me, it's actually gotten out of hand. I could barely handle it when, you know, we got past, like, instant messaging.
I don't know. I think it's fun for when you don't really have time to mess around on the computer too much. You can pop on there once or twice a day, see what's going on, and just sign off.
See what's going on. Well, I guess if you don't want to answer voicemail or email or your Bluetooth or your BlackBerry, you know, or one of the other 10 PDA devices that someone can invade your day with, you can go check the Facebook.
That's right.
We should start Assbook. You just the only, you
join
only
Assbook.
It. Yeah, join Assbook, and you can only get on the system when you're in the can. So you have everyone that's in the can communicating.
Boy, I tell you, I hope you have broadband then.
That's it, broadband. Yeah, for the flushing. Yes. That'd be tremendous. You imagine that? Everyone comparing toilets, bathrooms.
I unfortunately can imagine it because there's a Rate My Poo site already.
You know, check and see if there's an assbook.com. I bet there is.
All right, let me see.
Yeah.
God, the things
well,
you made me do.
This tape has got his eye knocked out. I can't look at that. There's my clicker. He's got his, oh, don't
oh,
show
yeah,
the stitches.
Oh, yeah, see that.
Yeah, that guy's got like a tin cup on his eye. I don't want to see that.
Assbook.com. Ah!
You kidding?
It says, this social network has been taken offline by its owner. It was a Ning site.
Oh. Okay.
That's great.
I told you, someone had to think of that.
Yeah. That's good.
So getting back to our intent today was to sort of translate the third person, left brain, body language stuff that Vladimir's talking about and get into more of a first-person somatic method way of looking at it. So if you take the lead characters, you got this Cal Lightman guy played by Tim Roth, Anto, 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 and all that means is that his conversation is primarily going on within himself. He's talking to himself all the time. That's where his orientation is if you're looking at it from a subjective standpoint, right? Then you have the Eco, which is that chick from the practice. The character's name is Julian Foster, and she's like his protege, whatever. And her orientation is eco, which means that she's tuning into the emotions that are going on, the vibe in the room. And, you know, you can always tell when that conversation is going on, when, like, you walk into a library versus walking into a ballpark. There's a tone set by the environment. And that's what the eco sapien is in conversation with all the time. They're always trying to figure out the tone in the room, the tone emotionally, not so much between within themselves or between them and other people, just the overall tone of the room, the atmosphere, right? Then we got that Rhea Torres, the chick that was working in the TA thing in the airport. She's EXO, so her conversation is impersonal. It's structural. It's literal. It is black and white. So that's why when you watch her do those things and she was making decisions in rapid fire, she was thin slicing. She was doing exactly what the guy in Blink talks about. She was using her expertise. She was using it as a skill. So she wasn't in her head, and she wasn't looking at the other person. She wasn't trying to figure out what goes on inside them. She wasn't tuning into the room. She was simply going into task mode. And people do it all the time. You brush your teeth, you're exoing. You're just an automatic pilot. You're just basically a psychomotor machine, just kind of moving along, right? And then the other character, the Philo guy, is Eli Luka, and he's in an interpersonal conversation. So that's why his little superpower, if you will, in the show is this radical honesty thing, where he's working in an organization where everybody's trying to figure out who's lying. He takes the approach of I'll take radical honesty on, and I'll completely tell the truth all the time, so that I'm always bonding with everybody. I'm not going to be looked at as being a liar. So it's very funny.
Except that his social skills suck. So.
And his social skills are horrible because he's a frightened little
away.
Philo. Yeah, he's a frightened little Philo. He'll face off with the exo, who took. So you always tell the truth. So you get in bed? Fair. And she looked at him. He knew he was lying, and then she gave him a little a pat on the head kind of thing. So it's like once you know some of this stuff, it's like a little bit of knowledge is dangerous. Happens a lot with NLP. It happens a lot with a lot of these third person kind of skills. Is that you start to see or almost look for it without putting any context on it. And this show got right up to the edge of doing that, and then it kind of stopped. So it wasn't completely over the top. But like I said, the thing that they don't tell you that sort of was, I guess would take a little of the mojo out of it, is that, yeah, the body can lie just as much as the mind can when it knows it's being observed. You know, and the thing is that when you lie to your mother, if you've been drinking or not, you're going to do all the behaviors they're talking about. But it's a very rare skill. Like they were talking about, naturally, it's like less than 1% of the population can read these cues without any training. So it's a learned behavior to notice some of these things. And now you're going to have people walking around the water cooler tomorrow at work, like watching for nostrils to flare and chins to move up, and people are going to be on guard for that. So they're going to put a mask over it. So if someone knows you're looking for it, yeah, they're going to protect it. They're going to do other stuff. And if you don't know what that means, then it's going to slip by your radar and off they go. So it's one of those things where you have to sort of keep that thing almost at the bottom of the screen and let it pop up and get your attention rather than sort for it and filter for it and almost in some cases, especially with the philosapes, induce it. Because you can induce a philo into looking like they're lying about almost anything because they're always feeling vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't take much to push them into that state, and all of a sudden they're doing a Ralph Cranston, hamana, 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 and they don't know why. Where, of course, egos like us, who are always accused of everything, hardly ever feel guilty or even remotely interested in feigning any type of thing because we're going to be guilty whether we're right or wrong.
Yep.
Because we're empathic, so again, we're tuning into the vibe of the room. Every fish is wet, so we don't care. So it's like, I didn't do it, and you don't believe me, and so what? Next. But it's the Anto, the one in eight out of there, 12% of the population, one in eight of us, that completely is bounded by their belief system. And as we have shared here on these airways before. Mm-hmm.
Jerry, just remember, it's not a lie if you believe it.
So the Antos are probably the worst liars of them all because the only one that believes what they're saying is them. And their little sort of pitfall is that they don't have a perception of the other people. So they think they've told the truth to themselves, and they don't realize they've lied to everybody else. So that's why when you ask an Anto, an opinion that is negative or something like that, they'll confidently tell you a completely made-up story that they believe in their head, and then they'll realize that everything they're showing you on a display level is betraying them. So it's amusing, but that's one in eight people. Most people out there, on the order of 7 out of 10, the Philos, or the other way around, like the people you saw on the show. A lot of Philos and Exos. I didn't make the running list of it, but they had the parents of the kid was an Exo dad and a Philo mom, and then the one guy with the handshake, he was an Eco. Of course, he's guilty. The girlfriend, I think at the end, I didn't get a good look at her. I think she was Philo. I have to look at it again. And then what do you call it? The girl that was the call girl. She's a Philo too. So, and what was the other guy with the congressman? I think he was Eco.
Oh, I don't remember.
Ruddy face, big guy. I think he was Eco. Anyway,
pay attention to that, because they have all four domains, which means that all four conversations are going on the entire show. And so when you see the lead character, if you watch the show again online and you want to see how this thing plays out, you watch it with the filter we're giving you. The character Timothy Roth is playing the role of the Anto. Okay, his character is an Anto. So his primary conversation with him was with himself, intrapersonal. He's always talking to himself. Even when he's talking to you, he's talking to himself first. The partner that he's with is the Eco. She's tuning into the vibe of the room. She's almost getting a sense of things, almost kind of a diffuse sense, and then she'll say, oh, stop it, you know, like that kind of thing, because she'll get the emotional hit. And then the Eli guy in the office is more interpersonal. Every interaction with another person to him is like a face-off, and he goes into that, I'll just be blatantly honest so they won't think I'm lying kind of a thing to keep the bond going. He's constantly focusing on his relationship with others. And then that TA cop at the airport, one that they hired in to be another one of these detection, that what do they call them? What's that word? Deception detectives or whatever, is an exo. She's just doing a task. So, you don't see into the interior of that person. So just noticing that stuff is kind of like, almost like gets you on the beach in the somatic universe, which is completely independent of what we're talking about here. Because that's body language stuff, that's not technically somatics. That's just body-based psychology. I'm just looking at the body for cues rather than listening to their rambling stories, which is, you know, what you were trained to do. Tell me about your mother while I take a nap.
No, we're trained to look like we're very interested.
Yes, nod interestingly. Yeah, nod like you're listening.
That's right, the active listening skill.
And every once in a while you go,
You're kind of like I do on the show.
Yeah, exactly. You're doing it right now, feigning interest.
I am so exhausted. I can barely keep. I actually don't have my eyes open. So if you start hearing snoring, just yell. I cannot stay.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again. If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator.
Oh, man.
So if we lose Val, we'll just have to
You'll have to just yell over my snoring.
We'll do one of these. Revival.
You're going to have to get an alarm clock noise.
Well, this is one of the reasons why doing the show at 10 o'clock probably is not going to work for you.
Yeah.
As you tend to fade out in mid-sentence sometimes at the computer.
Yeah, at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
I've got the enter key embedded in my forehead.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Yeah. So we're one day removed from the abomination.
Woohoo!
And, just some reactions. It seemed like the biggest story of the day wasn't the fact that, Senator Kennedy almost took a dirt nap at the luncheon, and that Robert Byrd called a cab as soon as he saw Kennedy's coming out.
He freaked. He has to be eco, that old man.
Yeah, he is. That's what I was going to say. The two of them are ecos. So, of course, the one ego ruins the luncheon with the convulsions. And again, why is it eco? I'll tell you why. Ecos are sensitive to dynamics. So you have a man who was on a boat in Florida on Sunday, and then he's in 15-degree weather on Tuesday, and then he goes into some, stuffy banquet hall, and he probably just went, he probably loaded up on whatever he's loading up. He's probably dancing with medications in his blood. And he sits down, and basically his brain went, I don't think so, and attempted to render him unconscious. He went into convulsions, and they took him out of there. And Robert Byrd, empathic as he is, tuned into the tone of the room and went, I must flee now, run away, Eco. And he just kind of called a cab. He, threw his coat on and left. And it backed up everything for an hour, and then the parade got backed up. And then, of course, Exo and Anto that they are, Mr. and Mrs. O.B., hop out of the cab there, start walking up the street, and of course, big truck with thunder there. Philo Al Roker's trying to get his interview, and it was really surreal in the sense that we're so used to the inauguration being sort of I don't want to say like something that you look at with one eye, because there was so the last two with Bush were protests. I mean, basically protesting that he won the first time, and protesting the war the second time. And he came by like 40 miles an hour in light rain as they hurled eggs and garbage at him and held the pictures of him and hung him in effigy. So a little different animal than what we saw yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Yesterday was pretty intense.
So in honor of the abomination, I'd like to play a little ditty from a band called U2 that I danced to last night.
Mm-hmm.
And if Jesus was here, this would be his drinking song. Love this song. Point is that we're now in that honeymoon with Obama, and it's going to be interesting to see how the press that practically had an Obamagasm going for about 10 hours yesterday. I mean, the man literally could have healed the sick and, you know, and brought the dead back to life for about 24 hours. It's going to see how he stays in the 70s in popularity for the next year or so as reality sets in, and you know, we're sitting here with the economy on the balls of its ass. Next, you know, so we'll see. I mean, I'm sort of optimistic. I'm Obamanistic about it.
Me too. I just got a comment for Bush. It was the people that voted him in office then turned around on him like rats. No, it was Bush who screwed up royally, and then people got sick of him. Get it straight, people.
Where'd that comment come from? Facebook? Assbook?
No, from an IM, from a listener.
Oh, from a listener? No, no, this isn't a listener. This show?
Yeah, Michigan. Yeah.
Oh, Michigan, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's see. George is the first to submit, and he is 3 out of 4. No win for George.
No, huh?
Yeah, he missed the Rhea Torres. He had her as an aunt, though, which is understandable. But nice try, George, but no. No winner for you. What's that thing from Willy Wonka?
Oh, you get
lose,
nothing.
Sir. There
you
it is.
Get
I got it.
Nothing.
I got it. I got it right here. This is for George.
You get nothing. Nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
You've got to pull up that George voicemail at some point.
Oh, man.
See if you can find that somewhere. We play it at the end.
Oh,
give you an activity, yeah. Keep you awake.
Let me see. God, this is really hard for me.
Across this country, this is the agenda I have set before my fellow prisoners.
That's right.
And the same standards of clarity and candor must now be applied to my opponent.
Yep. On behalf of everyone here, we welcome you with open noses. Let's see.
Edith.
Philo slippage. You think Freud was onto something with the Freudian slip with the philos? Because they can't help it. They're like a gumball machine. Well, not too much mastery at the language at that stage of development. Pretty much goo goo gaga and help.
Uh-huh.
Oh boy. So, you know, we're trying to use this hour to not teach you how to profile, to not teach you the somatic method, as it were, but to just give you an orientation, just give you a sort of an overview, because the shift is from taking a bunch of maps from the outside and filtering them over your senses and saying, oh, now I see it. Oh, it's great to be now. To sort of telestrate everything
for
you. Yes, exactly. Oh, that's a good one there. to sort of let it play through and come out on its own. Now, you know, George was wrong on one of the four, but he was right on the other three, and his reasoning was right. He's an exo. He gives me explanations here. The character's supposed to be an exo, but Roth seems to be playing him more as an onto.
He does have Ananto role, the group leader. However, in EXO, we'd better be profiling than Ananto, who would trip over their own thoughts and pollute the interaction to suit themselves. He has the EXO face down, except for the eyebrows. And then he goes, here's Kelly Williams as an eco. Unfortunately, she's really a Philo. It's really funny. Without seeing interactions and how they look stage, it's really hard. I got more reading the character's bio than they're supposed to be. And of course, I could be way off. He puts the rejoinder at the bottom. George is, hey, at least somebody actually read an email I sent, which is rarity, as it were. Because, of course, we know I'm destined to be completely ignored. What's that thing from the, yeah. Rewarded with complete and utter neglect. That's my lot in life.
Oh,
you know, so again, to try to just give you an overview of what we're trying to do this hour every week, and the whatever hour we appear, wow, Melusis is on Channel 5. Oh, no, he's not. I'm on the wrong channel. As I do three things at once, is to give you guys an idea that your internal world always has four directions it could put its attention, and by knowing which one of them comes natural to you, you naturally tune into the conversation I was talking about. That's the emotional tone in the room. That's the eco-somatic. Don't even have to know that, but that's where your mind goes first. That's where your attention goes first. Or is it or in the conversation of the voice in your head, that Anto voice that's telling you things and talking to you all day long? Or is it the Philo voice going, I wonder what they're thinking of me out there. Ooh, those people. And you're more focused on them, others, not on what's going on with you or the room, but the other people and how they're evaluating and judging you interpersonally. And then, of course, like we just talked about with the Brother George, the EXO conversation, which is much more about the system, the rules, the structure, external to everything. So I could tune into the emotional vibe of a library, whether it's empty or whether it's crowded, but all an EXO would perceive in that conversation is, I'm in a library. They wouldn't care about anything else. They would just care about the structure of the room or whatever it is that they're assessing that isn't to do with people, them, or emotions. So it's just sort of a filters out everything else. And by knowing which one of those conversations you're in, then you know what information you're going to get and what's relevant and what's not. So in a way, all this stuff does, all the somatic method does, is it filters out a heck of a lot of noise. And most of us are running around with loads of noise in our heads, you know, filled in by guys like this.
Oh, yes. I've read about that in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. You know. And then, of course, in the morning, you have this.
I'm a pirate!
See? So in a given day, how many voices get in your head? And the thing is, like I always say, the most fragile thing in a person's life is what? What's the easiest thing to ruin in a person? Mm-hmm. I have the clock spinning here. Their day. The most fragile thing in a person's life is their day. And the easiest thing for something to... What's the easiest thing to break in a person?
What's that?
There you go. Their concentration. That's right, Elliot.
I'm
yeah, well, you're eco. You can get by with all the any.
Yeah,
a judo. What's up? The judo. What's up?
I'm going to play every single one of these things till the show's over. Number again, 646-478-47. Any questions you got about Lie to Me? If we do not answer it during this hour, accidentally, since you don't call us, email us, IM us, or send a brick to the window, you can always send it to us at nakedsoma@gmail.com, and we will get around to it too sweet. And, of course, if you want to know a little more about what we're doing, you can always pedal over to somaspace.org or the blog we love, blogsoma.net. That's blogsoma.net. So going forward, if we're going to go back to the 9 o'clock hour and ignore this wonderful, wonderful hour of programming, we're going to be, again, back to the same old square one. Do we interview guests and ask them pointed questions? Do we survey you, the reader, the listener, the viewer, the archiving bastard? Do we do that? Because you don't tend to respond. You don't tend to really interact. And the more we go out to try to find people to interact with, the more they crawl on the rocks. And we're back to utter and complete neglect, whatever I said before. So I'm a little at a crossroads here with this. We have this hour. We're trying to use it to interest you, get you oriented, maybe whet the appetite a little bit about what the somatic method can do for you. As you know, if you don't know, we'll tell you again. First of all, and I have arranged a series of, what's this called, workshops. But they don't really work. It's sort of just a fun game of charades that we can use to point out these behaviors that are universal, just as
they do in the beginning of the Lie to Me show with their fancy Hollywood technicians to reveal things like, you know, celebrities like Kato Kaelin and people like that all make the same faces when they're in different emotions, right? Well, we also have four fundamental ways that we behave. That folly, those four conversations I was talking about, that are fixed perspectives in the way that we orient ourselves to the world and each other. And what happens is that as we develop, we find one of those conversations amazingly coherent and clear, and the other three are going, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? And you have to kind of tune in out with them, right? So what happens is that as you get older, after the age of 25, those other three conversations become equally important because you're biologically done developing, and now you have to start to sustain it. And, of course, we don't, and then it's off to Fight Club with some sort of horrible behavior you can't get rid of because you weren't mowing the back lawn, as they say. I don't know what that means, but, you know.
Yodels. Nobody believes me.
There you go. See.
And I'm still looking for the file.
Okay,
the Brother George file. I can't find it. I'm looking all over.
You can't find it?
I'm looking everywhere.
All right. You look and I'll look, and then the show can go on without us.
We'll get Jim to do it for us since he's listening. Jim, finish up the show for us so we can find this file, will you?
Jim, take the calls. We have so many calls on hold.
And I'm going to take a nap.
Mm-hmm. I was about to...
My eyes are actually watering.
You got to be kidding. We got 18 minutes of this to go here.
You know, all week I've been just dead. For the listener... I was going to say listeners, but for the listener out there.
For the listener. The listenee.
I am starting a new job on Monday, so I'm trying to change my normal schedule and get up early. And I am just so freaking tired. Oh, wait a minute. Well, I have a sound effect for that right here.
There you go.
That's my flying rubber chicken.
You actually recorded that thing?
No, it's just sitting here with me.
Oh.
I always do the show with the flying chicken.
Oh, I thought it was something you just throw it, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I know every man with a straight gay or George motherfucking Bush is terrified of the puss.
What are we talking about?
Listen, not
there you go.
I love that show. Oh, my God.
Coming out with a new season, I heard.
You know, I'm reading the books that the show is based on.
I have something special to play here.
I have... Let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4. I think I have like 8 of them. I got through 2 of them in no time, and I do not, I have very little focus for reading, and I'm totally into them. Every second I can get, I grab one and read some pages. It's really good stuff.
All right, let me see if I have it here.
I'm completely fucked. Cool, warm up. Allow me to say anything again on my gigabytes of drive. It says, I'm fucked. I'm fucked. I can't try cutting the pole in my hair. It says, I'm fucked. I'm fucked. I'm fucked. This thing is fucking me. I'm tired of being fucked. It's Harvard graphics from now on. I will never touch this piece of shit again. It has done this before. I am tired of this. It's fucking unstable. I can't handle this piece of shit anymore. I don't know what to do. I am fucked. I'm fucked full of women. You could possibly smell it. Fucking funny. I haven't got the goddamn thing done all goddamn day. Because I can't say that they got a goddamn fucking dick. Anyway, I have no idea if we even have a talk tomorrow. Goodbye.
Good. Brother George joining us from beyond the grave.
Oh, that is so funny.
It's classic. It never gets old. It's, you know, what are you going to say? It's
that is so funny.
Oh, man. And typical of an exo who can basically only say that on a voicemail. You know, all his emotions are poured out into a machine. It's kind
of
funny.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
does he know that you play that as often as you can?
You know, you can only know if you listen to the show. And if you don't listen, you could be being mocked right now.
That's right.
Anyone leaves me a voicemail, and if it's entertaining, it's on the show. Because we have to fill up this hour, dammit. You bastards don't call us up. We get to play these kinds of things.
That's right. We'll get you on here one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
see.
Clap on, clap off, clap on. Clapper.
You know, the ShamWow guy, I wish we could interview him for the show. He's got that new thing with the choppy thing. Have you seen that?
I don't
he chops
remember.
Things up. It's chopping vegetables.
Oh,
and he's got,
yeah.
And he's got the Grady with the cheese.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that guy could sell me anything. He could be working outside a mortuary selling tombstones. I would buy it from him. There's nothing better on TV than a completely coherent onto selling you something because they totally believe it. And so it's like that, and that's really what I wanted to get at was the whole essence of learning any of the stuff we're talking about. The whole enchilada for the whole thing is to understand that it ain't your nervous system, it ain't your immune system, it ain't your motor system, it ain't your sensory system, it ain't your lymphatic system, it's your belief system. And in your belief system, which of course allows shapes to believe that they can, you know, create their own reality, and, you know, I think of that.
You filthy criminies.
And, you know, we'll gobble up all these self-help things while they're creating their own reality fed by somebody else's reality. It forces us into behaviors that close our identity and creates a lot of social noise, like I said before. And being able to filter out that noise is what the somatic method is all about, because as you get older, more noise in, less signal out, beep, goes to coherence, and you are one brain fog motherfucker. And then you're usually in front of me on some side road in Larchmont. And it is, you know, so my entire agenda is to be able to have a clear path to go to and from work to avoid you guys. You know, so the whole point of learning this stuff, like I said, is to be able to filter. You can't change what goes in the filter, so to speak, but you can change how efficient that filter is. And it's really about preserving that frontal lobe, that little head cheese in your brain there, that regulates these things so that as you get older, your system doesn't have to knock down its performance. And along the way during development, you're getting the best of yourself to be able to override the worst and the mediocre part that seems to drive the bus more often than not in this society, which is why Obama sticks out, you know, so much, because that shapes coherent. And he's an exo-mofo, so he don't care. He's a Jimmy Crack Corn kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how long we can tolerate the wife there.
Well, it'll be less than
crunch.
Him. That's it. That's a good clip that I have there, because it also has Robin Quivers cackling on it.
Yeah. Well, as long as we're going to go that way, we might as well play the whole trio here.
Yes.
So to... Carolyn Kennedy, who resigned tonight from her, or resigned, or just withdrew her bid to become a New York senator, we have the Costas greeting.
Good riddance, fuckface. So long, you fetus-faced windbag.
There you
good
go.
Luck managing a Denny's douchebag.
Nothing better than Costas cursing like that. I swear to God, if they don't play that at his funeral, there's no justice.
That's right.
And to the governor who answered the phone call, thereby screwing up her bid, Sue Simmons.
At 11, pay more at the grocer, but getting less will tell you how to get the most. The fuck are you doing?
That's right. So there you go. So, I mean, like, what we want to point out on the show is that every day you get millions of opportunities to notice these conversations in action, to be able to see them right there before your eyes and say, where is this person? You ever have a conversation with someone, like in a department store or something, and they're just not there with you? They're not in the interpersonal philo conversation that 70% of the population's in, and most of that population is on the small circle side of it, not trying to cover things up, doing the lie thing that this guy's talking about on the show here. They're in a conversation in their head. They're picking up vibes in the room, or they're task-oriented and completely ignoring you. I love that happens a lot in gas stations because people get very procedural in the gas station. And it's like they'll do goofy stuff. They don't even see themselves doing it because they're so black and white, so basically on autopilot. Yeah. And there's a lot of people on autopilot that aren't good at being on autopilot. They go through lights. They do all kinds of fun things. One of Brother George's favorite things to talk about is how people will walk behind cars in the parking lot without even looking. You know, and these are, like I said, there's a disease out there. There's a disease out there called behavior. It's contagious.
And we adopt a lot of behaviors from other people. The yawning experiment comes to mind. Some idiot yawns at a ball game or yawns at a movie theater. Everybody's yawning, right?
I just did that. Did you yawn?
No, but I felt the need to stretch.
Good answer.
Yes. Let's see. Yeah, I'm not quick enough. There you go. I'm running out of things to hit. So anyway, leave that one alone. So, long story short, what you want to get out of each one of these shows is sort of a heads up to say, just like this show does, this Lie to Me show does, it gives you something to look for. And if you know what to notice, you're not trying to see it before it's there. But when it shows up, it's like almost like those little things in Dungeons and Dragons. You get the little elixir, you get the little power pill in Pac-Man. Boop, boop, boop. You gobble that up because that little piece of information from the other person is reflecting whatever it is you fed into that system. So if you look at every individual you interact with as a living mirror, an extended self, Mobiously connected back to you all of a sudden, the Onto map, which says there is no other, looks a little bit more three-dimensional, doesn't it? And ultimately, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to optimize your own physiology because it's almost like when you're smiling, when you're Ontoing and you're on top of the hill and you're peeking, the whole world smiles with you. Smith, smith, smith. And the thing is that you don't have to feel that weakness anymore, so you're coming from strength. So it is, the journey is to Onto, ultimately, to find out what you're good at and keep doing it a lot. And if you can do it every day and it's the same thing every day, you're a damn porn star, right? But most of us, unfortunately, aren't, which means we have to toil in the valley and go up and down the hill every day and ride those waves, ride them, Sapien, into the wilderness. And if we can do it successfully, we have good conversations. Good conversations lead to feelings of, safety, bliss, even spontaneity. And after a while, we start to enjoy the company of others. It hasn't for me yet, but, we're hoping. And so, ultimately, what the whole point is that you start realizing you as a social animal can't avoid having a conversation. Even if his exo is my damn daddy, who would rather talk to a golf ball than you, or that stupid Geico money pile, which is starting to get really annoying, by the way.
That is exo.
Oh, how annoying is that? It really is annoying. There's something about it that just... Here you go. Mr. Rogers expressed himself here.
Are there things that make you angry?
There you go.
I was just going to press that as you said that.
Oh, ba-dum-bump.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's the thing, is that you start to get that the payoff for this, is that it isn't about trying to hold emotions in or push emotions out or stuff them down the back. And it's about having a flow to take those four fixed perspectives, those four reliable directions of the wind, so to speak, and be fluid in the way that you swim among them, so that you're not just coming from one stream all the time, trying to force things into that funnel that don't go that way. And what happens is a lot of times we, us as egos, we force change on a system that doesn't need to be changed and result in a little friction, a little sore knees maybe. Perhaps a little eco backlash. A slap, slap. Right? The Ontos, of course, when it isn't about them, it's about somebody else. They have no care in the world, and they get pissed off and angry, and they start to polarize. And you get that, ontoitis. And then, of course, the phylocytis is when they just, I don't know, if we have anything crying on here?
No, I'm just vomiting, though.
Yeah, okay, well, that's not, I don't really need to hear that. But it's that they become, basically, they feel abandoned. And so they start to become, they feel obligated to stay, but they feel vulnerable in the environment. So they start to become, that feeling of abandonment comes over them, and that gets communicated. And, of course, the eco, who always feels persecuted, starts getting a little bit unstable. And the exo, who never feels that they're equal with what it is that they're interacting with, they always feel superior or inferior, they start to become a little uppity or a little persnickety, and they start to tank on you. In the middle of a conversation, an exo will just get up and leave. This conversation is over. And like a hang-up on the phone, they'll just get up and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Without any kind of ending of the conversation. Because they just determine
this situation is superior to me, I therefore leave. And they get moved. So it's like understanding behavior in that sense and stop trying to interpret it in your map and start putting it in this somatic terrain, if it were, as you were there, a lot lighter on the system. And you don't get nuts trying to figure things out. You don't get stuck trying to unravel these little maps that you make of things. And you can see the map for what it's worth. And you can decide if the map is relevant or not. Like I said, you're filtering. So that's what I wanted to get across this week, because I think a lot of the stuff that gets pushed out there, especially this show, it's a great show. And the thing is, I love the skills that they're teaching. I would rather they spent the hour talking to freaking Paul Ekman. They make a whole big show out of it. But the SAPs need to have their dramas, their crime dramas every night. How many crime dramas are there?
I pretty much watch them all.
They're on every damn day. You can't get enough of them.
Mm-hmm.
Then they got more on cable.
Mm-hmm.
There's either cop shows, lawyer shows, forensic shows. Now
and,
we got
and I love
liars, mentalists. What?
Mm-hmm. I love all those shows.
Why? What's the fascination? Then we have.
I don't know.
Then it goes right into the real news, which is all about the same thing: liars, cheaters, gamblers.
Yeah, but I don't watch those.
The real ones you don't watch. The fake
no.
ones you do.
Yeah, because listen. The world sucks. I want to stay in fantasy.
You filthy criminies.
That's right. Or as they say in the boulevard,
scumbag.
That's it. So I think next week we're going to be back on at 9 o'clock because I think we want Val to be a little bit more alive.
Oh, man.
You know, we
you
can't
better
do this
put it on at 6 o'clock then.
Yeah, you'll be at work next week. You'll be in a basket.
It's going to be bad.
As the snow flies.
That's right.
Oh, jeez.
So there we are. As we sway away here.
On a cold
2 minutes ago.
And gray Chicago morning, a little baby
this is another Obama song. He was born in Africa, though.
We could have put the Cartman version on.
Put the what on?
Cartman version. He always sings this.
Yeah, okay.
If there's one thing she don't need is another hungry mouth to feed in the ghetto.
I was humming this the other day. I don't even know why.
Because it's a catchy tune.
Well, I did because we missed Elvis's birthday. You want to talk about body language? Just study them. Just study the King.
Yeah, Jim is excited because he loves Elvis.
That's right. Well, just a little Chicago homage to the newborn King of the free world.
And yay.
Yes. Barack Hussein. Why did they say H? They're going to talk about that H thing for a month. Hannity's going to have a field day with that H. And they brought him out. The president-elect, Barack H. Obama. They just made a big deal out of the H.
Well, because we have so many moronic citizens here that freak out because it's a Muslim name. They can't.
That's what they swore. They swore him in. They said Hussein. So when they introduced
him,
they said H.
Yeah, they had.
Well, they have to. Yeah, but they I don't know. And then they did it again today because he missed a couple of words.
Yeah, but did you see that the XO was right on top of that as they were saying the wrong words? He's like,
yeah.
Waiting for them to correct it.
That was a class. You want to talk about a classic situation for the somatic method? The judge doing the thing was Anto, referring the case. The conversation was with himself. He wasn't waiting for Obama. And Obama's task oriented. He's trying to wait for the guy to stop so he can repeat them, and they're stepping on each other. That was a classic disconnect. It's perfect.
That was beautiful.
Yeah,
and, you know,
I enjoyed it.
Mercury's in retrograde, and he
that's
took
right.
the oath of office during that. Oh, that's just...
And the woo says, do-do-do, do-do-do, do-do-do.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right, I think we've consumed the hour, so we will leave you with a little more Jesus Christ from our friends, and we'll see you next week at 9 p.m., Val with a shot of Red Bull. For everyone here at Summertime, which is just me, Val, and the guy listening in Michigan, travel light through the darkness.
God,
Jesus. When Jesus came to town, all the working folks around, believe what he did say. Well, the bankers and the preacher, they nailed him on a cross, and the